Hello, racing fans. Edison Hatter here with another special trip over to Sweden as we prepare for the 2024 edition of Elite Loppet. This year's preview show, we're going to have two different shows here. This preview show you're listening to now, we'll also have a live stream later in Elite Lop weekend here to discuss some of the specifics of handicapping these races, but we'll give you a pretty good overview here today. We'll talk a little bit about the fields, the horses that we'll see this weekend, the different styles of racing we'll see, so hopefully a good in-depth show coming up for you. And to join me, I've got the two usual Swedish co-hosts that I've settled into now, Mike Probosi. Mike, welcome as always.
Glad to be here. This is always fun, so it'd be fun to get you over there and get this race going.
And Mike, all respect to you and I, but I think we can agree our true expert we have on this panel is the local Scandinavian, Thomas Svensson, who's obviously living with us here in the States now, but has a lot of experience with racing over there.
Yeah, thank you. I love to be on the podcast and talking about the harness racing. I'm going to do it every day.
Well, the first thing I'll start with is for anybody looking for even more content than this, I'll point you to last year's introduction podcast. Last year's introduction podcast, I got Marcus Melander interview quotes on there, along with Sarah Svanstedt. They were both very gracious with their time in the back paddock at the Meadowlands with me one night. Mike Loudon, one of the local TV experts over there in Sweden. In fact, you'll see him probably this weekend. If you're watching the feed, the English commentary feed, you'll see him. He provided some good thoughts on the race. John Campbell provided a nice interview to me as well regarding his experiences at Elite Lop. So last year's show has a lot of good introductory material. We're going to quickly discuss some of those points again on this show, but also hopefully provide you some different thoughts. So I think both shows are worth listening to ahead of this weekend's Elite race. And again, as you're listening to this, this race or this show is out Sunday evening, May 19th, 2024. And then Friday, this coming Friday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we will have a live stream discussion show. We'll be handicapping the Saturday and the Sunday cards. Sunday about noontime here on the East Coast of the States is when the Elite race will go to the gate. So we'll do some deep dive handicapping later this week. But for now, general overview. We know the 16 horses that will be in the race. We'll discuss that. But Mike, before we get too deep into this, I do want to point out that anybody listening to this, Elite Loppet next weekend is, of course, the biggest major race on the Swedish calendar, but there are others. We discussed Paralympia Trav at the beginning of the month. The Norrbotten Stora Pris we'll go to again next in the middle of June. The race under the midnight sun in the far northern parts of Sweden. We'll come back down to Solvalla for some big races for the 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds. So a lot of other stuff that's worth tuning into the rest of the season.
Yeah, we had a great start last year to these podcasts, and it kicked off, and we went all year long with all the different big races, and it really introduces you to all the big races over in Sweden. They're huge pools, and a lot of really good horses. And this past year, for the International Trot, a lot of these horses came over and were able to compete versus our horses in a $1 million race, and they dominated. So it's great to familiarize yourself with these big races. If you're into harness racing, Swedish racing has to be on your bucket list. It has to be on your radar to pay attention, because that's where the best horses are, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Thomas, obviously for you as someone who's been there before and been over in the area, I mean, obviously I can speak to my experience last year, but I'll let you do it for me, and I'll share my thoughts later on. But, obviously we have nice big racing days here in the States. Hamiltonian Day comes to mind, North America Cup night at Mohawk. They get nice crowds, but there's just nothing like Elite Lop weekend at Solvalla and that atmosphere and crowd.
Now, it's like people is waiting 1 year for it, and when the week can start with an easy card on Friday, they have an auction during the week, they have a super card on Saturday, and then they have the Elite Lop on Sunday. People is sleeping in sleeping bags outside of the gate, especially on the night to Sunday, to get the best seats, and they're running in when they open the gate. It's like, it's insane. It's almost like a little brown jug with the people. There is 30 to 40,000, and I can just mention to you that the joviality she drew the post for in the first elimination. So now it is something you need to have an experience about. That, like I talked with Dexter Dunn about it when he went there, and he said it was like just a story for his life when he was there. And it is just harness racing on the best.
Yeah, Thomas mentioned Joviality's post-4 draw. We're watching right now live on the ATG Swedish channel, the draw for the Elite Lop. So this is perfect timing. By the time we get to discuss the field, we should have some even posts and positions and stuff we can discuss there. But again, reminder, this Friday, I know I already said it, I'll say it again here, 3:30 p.m. live stream. We'll discuss some deeper handicapping of this stuff. But should that change, because we are working semi-dynamically, Thomas mentioned it, so Friday is racing at Solvalla. I'll be on track at Solvalla Friday. Then there is the auction in the evening. I missed it last year. I was told I might want to check it out. So I might check it out a bit. Got to get dinner at some point. So that's 3:30 here, 9:30 over there. So I'm hoping I'll be ready to roll at 9:30 for this live stream. But should there be any changes to that, you can follow my social media. And, you know, selfish plug, social media might be worth following in general this week. Hoping to provide a lot of good commentary. Going to get some interviews like we did last year from the backside of Solvalla. We'll probably share some of those thoughts and reactions on that live stream. So if you miss it there, we can catch them there. But beyond that, I think there's a lot of other exciting things. I'm going to head out to Bro Park on Wednesday, see the Swedish Thoroughbred. So looking forward to that experience, and we'll share a couple photos, I'm sure. I'm going to be up in Kiruna on Thursday, which is up in the Arctic Circle. Going to take a plane up and try to see some reindeer, see some of the midnight sun, that kind of stuff. And Sunday, yes, last year, admittedly, I was a little sleepy. I overslept. But this year, going to get to Solvalla super early with the press credential and get in before the general public. And I really do want to see a video and try to stay out of the way. But I want to see this rush for the best seats at the Elector end when those gates open. So looking forward to a lot of great coverage on not only In the Money Media here, but on my personal social media channel, which is on Twitter, X, whatever we want to call it, at Edison_1999_. Last bit of introductory news. Mike, I'll toss this one to you. SwedishHorseRacing.com, the website here for ATG, English website, free programs, all the race information you could want. I know you're a big user of it. Obviously, a lot of great gambling information as well regarding the odds, the percentages, and some of the multi-race wagers. Very, very useful website.
Absolutely the best website that I've ever seen for harness racing, bar none. Just updated odds, especially early in the week. Gives you full programs, full list of all the horses, and that continuous constant update on betting, especially the multi-race wagers, how many horses are being used in different sequences, you know, the early money, things like that. All that stuff is right at your fingertips, and you can check out. Extremely useful if you're betting these races, and plenty of other content too, race replays. You can get a lot of, you know, different stories and things like that, and lots of coverage, and it's all there for you. Just check it out, and that's SwedishHorseRacing.com, the ATG website, and we'll be referring back and forth, especially on Friday, I would think. We will be going to that and checking a lot of things, especially for the odds in a different place.
So, Thomas, this is some stuff we're going to start in on that we discussed last year on the show, so obviously we won't spend too much time on it, but just for anybody that's only tuning into this show, we should give them a basic level to get started with. So where is Solvalla? We are going to Stockholm, Sweden, kind of the southern central part of the country. There's racetracks in Sweden all the way from the far south up to the very northern parts. Boden Racetrack, where we'll go for the next major race, is nearly to the Arctic Circle. But Thomas, let's talk about the actual racing surface there at Solvalla in technically Bromma, Sweden. 1,000 meter track, so that's 5/8 of a mile, and it's particularly banked, so it kind of leads to some interesting racing.
Yeah, it does. It is the biggest track and the major track in Sweden. 5/8 track, they drive mile races, mile and a half races, or like 80 to 90% of the time. Sometimes they have 2 mile races. Surface, very, very good. You can race with no shoes during this week in all races. There is good weather forecast. They use very much water on the track to get air in it, and like to have it a good cushion for the horses and like that. The turns super, super smooth. I will don't say it is like all tracks right now with the horses. There is almost like a speed track. You need to be up little up close because the horses, it's so like good right now, so it's hard to pick up anything. You see the same thing at Meadowlands over here on the mile track. It's hard to get to sit last, and the same thing there. You need to be close at the at Solvalla. So, but for me, Solvalla and Meadowlands and Vincennes is the three major track in the harness race.
Yeah, Mike, just to toss some quick statistics out there, you hear Thomas mention about obviously wanting to be close to the lead. I think that's kind of true anywhere you're racing, really. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Etenaux a couple years ago won the Elite Lop from well off the pace, you know, that big stretch rally. That does happen, of course, once in a while. But generally speaking, close is the place to be. Honeck did it last year in the Elite race from the lead. At Tovala particularly, 41% of winners come from the lead. So a pretty standard number across Sweden. It does feel like lately, though, maybe that number is a bit higher. It seems like we've seen quite a few there at Tovala. But, Mike, the one that we pointed out last year, it's worth mentioning again, 17%. So that's nearly one in six winners come from what they call the death seat, sitting right outside the leader. Obviously, here in the States, we call it park for life or park the mile. But over there, just with the racing styles, not necessarily a bad place to end up.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot, especially if you listen to these podcasts in the past, about the styles of racing is different. The turns are banked differently. The tracks are different. Horses can survive on the outside for long periods of time first up. If you see those horses here, if you're first up at the Meadowlands for three quarters of the race, you're likely not going to win unless you're Carl or, you're a horse that can overcome. Well, over there, that's different. The trips are set up differently. Horses can survive on the outside for a long period of time. And like you said about first over being a bad spot here, well, not such a bad spot in Sweden, over in Scandinavia, they can live outside for a long time and continue to dig to the wire. So second over, you know, usually, and third over trips here, they work well there too. But horses that have early position there, especially, do very well. And so first up, not such a bad thing. But a couple years ago, that pace was nuclear in the big race. And that's what happened. They end up with a big closer. So it still plays honest enough that way too.
And last but not least, regarding just the track service, Thomas, Albi has a double passing lane. So passing lanes do exist in Sweden, but not at Solvalla. So think maybe like Yonkers, sitting in that pocket. If you're locked in there coming through the stretch, not really the place to be.
No, it is. And parked on the outside in America, it's a little different because home in Scandinavia, you see they're going to leave, get into position. They protect the position more over in Scandinavia and then they do here. They don't give holes over there. If they have like a couple of inches, they're going to protect their position. So, and you're always going to get a breather in Scandinavia. That's the biggest difference. I think like you've seen Aki when he has been driving here at the US, he can be on the outside because he is, if the leader is not pushing up the pace, then you're going to get a little breather. So it's more like about the tactical on the drivers over there compared to her. You see them give holes, you see them give room if they have room over her. But at home, they protect every inch.
Well, Thomas, moving on to something we didn't discuss really last year that much in depth, because we really kind of focused on the Sunday racing, you know, a little bit of the Saturday. This year, we're going to really focus on Saturday, Sunday. But what is Elite Weekend? So it's 3 days. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. As you mentioned, Thomas, there's obviously a lot of other events going on, such as the horse auction. There's also a general gala, I think, Friday night. ATG always has a very nice welcome dinner Saturday night with some of the racing connections. So there's a lot of other stuff going on around the vicinity. So, you know, if anybody's listening in and is hoping to go in years future, definitely recommend a trip to Stockholm at the end of May. But for those watching at home on TV, Thomas, tell us a little bit about Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, obviously, Elite Lop, the Elite Race is Sunday, but there's a lot of other big things happening on the weekend.
Friday is just like our regular easy day. It's not like the best race. It's nice horses. They have like little lower classes there. It's like an afternoon post time, I think it is. Like a lunch post time, noon post time around that, and they race there. Saturday is very like a super good day. They have an amazing pick seven pool. They're going to have close to $12, $15 million in the pick seven pool. They have a Sweden Cup that day, who is like the horses, who is just under the lead lop. They have three elimination, and they're going to go to the final race later. They have Harper Hanover, who is like a two-mile race where the best horses who is like Manny from France is coming. It's more tactical and stuff like that. That's an amazing race, Harper Hanover, and it's just like for the betting wise, it is so amazing to see the pools over there on Saturday. All the information you're gonna get from the grandstand, from the warm up people, from the interview in the paddock. You you're going to be like blown away with the information. So you're going to know all the equipment changes, how horses warmed up, do they do any equipment changes after the warm-up and stuff like that. So Saturday is, for me, the best betting day. Sunday, good pools, very nice pools, pick seven, pick six, pick five, pick four. But it's more like, it's not, it's always going to be favorites going to win on the Sunday. On Sunday, we're going to have a speed race also for they're going to race 3/8 of a mile in eliminations and going to go to a final. It's a very cool speed race. We also have for the Colbrooks Elite Camp for the best Colbrooks. So it is just, the weekend is just amazing. It's like three days. You're going to have an easy Friday auction on the evening, Saturday with the top betting pools, good sport, good classes, and then you have the Champions League on Sunday with the Elite Lot.
Well, Mike, I think Thomas pretty much hit all my notes here regarding some of the unique things we'll see on the weekend, obviously mentioning the speed race, the 3/8-mile race. Actually, there'll be one on Friday as well. Friday, it closes the day. That's the Cold Blood speed race. So it's 3/8 mile, three horses in three different races, quote-unquote. You know, they go very quick, though, back to back to back. The winner of each of those three comes back right afterwards, and the winner of that race is your winner. Second place is your place horse. Third is your show horse. So that's a particularly interesting race. And the speed race for the Warm Bloods is started off on Sunday. And that's the first race, so that's really an exciting way to kind of get the crowd ready to roll on Elite Lop Day. Yes, the Harper Lop, we'll see the Harper Hanover race, 3,140 meters. That's three full laps of the track, something like nearly a mile and 7/8. We'll see the Elite Lop, the Sweden Cup. Eliminations on the same day as the final. They are like the Little Brown Jug in that sense. The Elite Cold Blood race will come up on Sunday as well. Mike, there's only one other specialty race that Thomas is forgetting, and if you know me, I think you can maybe think of what it is.
The Monte race.
The Racing Under Saddle Elite race. So we also see them race like that, right, Mike? Your favorite.
Well, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's different. It's fun. I know you love it, and some of those horses are really built for that, and they really get after it whenever they go. They're racing under saddle. We did a few of those races. It got big for a little while over here, and I think like we had a thoroughbred jockey, Chantel Sutherland, was doing some Monte races around here for a while. You don't see them so much. Once in a while, they do them in Canada now, I think, in the summertime. We don't get exposure to that all that much anymore. So, but I know you love it. The Cold Bloods are the ones that really interest me. The horses are a little bit smaller. They're slower, but they get after it too. Watching the Cold Bloods get after it. And those are fun races too. You got big fields. We have a lot of different kinds of starts. There's just so many things on that weekend. And the pools are huge. So I think Thomas gave a really perfect preview set up to that, but you kind of have to dig in early and watch a lot of these races because there's a lot of different styles, different versions, and different races to go on, but all I think very good betting opportunities.
Yeah, you know, the Cold Bloods are really fascinating. Obviously a completely different type of racehorse. Essentially the Warm Bloods are what we see even come over here for the Yonkers International Trot. Those are our horses. Cold Bloods just fundamentally, you know, anatomically, scientifically different. And they are just a little stockier, a little bit slower. The mile times are obviously a bit slower for them. But some really interesting, you know, from just an equine perspective, looking at the horses, some of their manes are really interesting to look at, some of the coloration. So, again, I'm going to keep touting my social media channel, but I put some photos of them on there last year. I mean, Mike, I don't know, am I BSing here? I mean, I think I provided some useful thoughts if anybody just wants to stare at my social media for the weekend and look at some pictures.
Yeah, jump on Edison's. He got interviews. He's got pictures. He's got all kind of stuff on there. But the Cold Bloods is really, really cool. If you're not exposed to that, that's to watch those races. You have to get in on that. So it's almost like a miniature version. I mean, it's just I don't know. It's different, but I think it's fun.
Now, Thomas, of course, works with the horses in the morning, so I know he's always up early. And I know, Mike, you usually are too. But maybe pretend to be Ray Catolo for a minute. I mean, you know, we are going to have to work a little bit here. First post time, 12:45 at Solvalla, local time, Saturday, Sunday. So that's 6:45 a.m. here on the east coast of the States. On Friday, though, last year it was also a 12:45 post time. This year it's a 2:40 p.m. post time, so that's 8:45 in the morning. So people like Ray can at least sleep in a little bit on Friday morning. But, you know, the big races usually go a bit closer to noon. The eliminations of the Elite lop around 10 to 11. So, you know, if you wake up, you might miss the first race or two. There's still plenty of action to get in on.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, why not wake up and it's almost like, you know, Pimlico started at 10:30 in the morning this past weekend for thoroughbred racing. So get up a little earlier and tune in to watch these Swedish races early. I mean, what could be better than 8 o'clock in the morning and you have 16 horse fields? I don't know. I'm into it. So get up early. Nothing else is going on, so you might as well, you know, get in on some of these big races. Ray, we might have to set 5 alarms to get him up for it, but you and I think, will be awake.
Thomas, something unique I want to mention before we turn the page there on races on the weekend. Elite Lop. So, again, I mentioned it's like the Little Brown Jug. We're talking eliminations, final, the same day. In fact, for that matter, they're usually pretty close together. Races 6 and 7 elims, race 10 final, something like that. Two eliminations. We have 16 horses. We'll discuss those horses in a bit. But as a general concept, two eliminations, top 8, top 4 from each race go to the final. But as a driver, you have to drive one horse in the eliminations of the final. And that's particularly interesting with some trainers here that have multiple horses in. So, for example, Alessandro Golciadoro, trainer driver, he'll have to pick which horse he's going to drive. Daniel Radian, Ian Kielstrom, his main driver, has choices to make. So that is an interesting aspect to the style over there with how they do the eliminations.
Yeah, they just changed that a couple of years ago that you need to have like one driver in the elimination and stuff like that, so that they changed that. It's it's back and forth what people think home about it if you need to have like different drivers. So it's gonna be I know all the best drivers is gonna get a horse like a Bjørn Goop. He's driving the last one for Gucciadoro Capital, not Capital Mail. He is driving Denver Geo.
So, Mike, regarding the race distances we'll see this weekend, and I'm going to have to try to do some quick math. I'm here as a math major. Hopefully I can do this successfully. But so, again, a 1,000-meter track there at Sovallo. So you got to kind of think about the fact that obviously they don't want to start horses on turns or anything. So our race distances we'll commonly see. Well, for the Elite Lop and the Sweden Cup, that'll be 1,609 meters. That is exactly 1 mile. They'll start exactly where we see them start on 5/8 tracks here in the States. That's going to look like a standard U.S. race. We'll also see 2,160 meters, so that's 2 full circuits of the track. So they'll kind of start, you know, towards the top of the stretch and then go around 2 full times. 3,140 meters for the Harper-Hanover race, that's the 3 full laps, nearly 2 full miles. 2,640, that's kind of what we more think of here in the States regarding the fact that they will start kind of at that same spot but then go around an extra time. So they'll be looking at a mile and just over a mile and a half distance there. And, of course, that 640-meter speed race is letting them go at the standard spot of a 5/8-mile track. But once they cross the line, they're done in that 3/8 of a mile. So, you know, a little bit of quick math needed, but we can convert meters to miles and think about the fact that they do kind of vary the distances there, unlike us here in the States.
Yeah, we typically do one-mile races, and that's pretty much our standard. Once in a while, Yonkers will have some mile-and-a-quarter. When they were doing those big trotting days, they had mile-and-a-quarter races. But 5/8-mile track, so I think you went over the distances pretty well there, and we're not used to them going multiple laps and things like that, so it's a little bit different, and you'll see horses go first up for a mile and 5/8, so that's, it's different racing. You have to adjust yourself. Very different.
I'm just going to come with a little input for the people who's betting, like in Sweden Cup and the Kolbloods Elite Race, it's 1,640 meters. That is benefiting little... not the rail horses that benefit more post 5, 6, and 7. They're going to get at least a couple of yards more to increase the speed before the turn comes. So have that in the mind that it's easier to protect the rail with just a mile instead of 1640. People think the 31 meter doesn't matter. It does.
Yeah, you think back in history how many times you've won or lost a photo finish and thought about, you know, what would an extra 30 meters have done me, an extra, you know, basketball court distance. It would do you a lot in a lot of spots. But, Thomas, you mentioned middle post. So, obviously, starts behind the car, very familiar to us here in the States. Post four is the winningest at Sovalla. You know, standard stuff you'd expect, middle of the gate, usually pretty standard here in the States. But then there's also the vault start, where post one is the most winningest position. Talk to us a little bit, Thomas, about what these circular starts are.
Yeah, that's like, it's almost like impossible to explain to people, because we have different systems. Sweden have their system, Norway have their system, and Danish have their system. We all think we have the best system. The Swedish system is, for me, not the best system. If you have post five in Sweden, you have at least 50-50 you're making a break, because you're turning the horse around on a dime. Post six and seven is the two best. You're going to have almost like a little extra coming out of a turn and have a good speed when the start goes. One and two is okay. Four is not super good. You turn the horse very tight. The one, two, and three, and four is circular the one way, and five and six and seven the other way. So five and four is very tight. Five is very, you're going to have a nice, nice horse who can like turn on the dime. If not, there's a big chance you're going to lose ground or you're going to make a break.
Yeah, you know, Mike, they have so many circle starts in Sweden. The best advice I can give to anybody to really see this in action is just watch a couple Swedish races, and you'll surely see a circle start. But the best way I can kind of try to describe it is you've got groups of five, you know, so post one, the one horse kind of controls that first circle of horses, and you can kind of visualize in your head, if this is making any sense to you, as Thomas says, the one horse is obviously circling the furthest distance. It kind of, you know, gets the best little start there to turn and get some speed. Think about the five, how tiny that little circle is. That's a tough spot. And then same goes for the 6 through 10, sometimes even 11 to 15. And, of course, Mike, we also have to factor in that, especially in a race, for example, like the Harper-Hanover Lop, that 3,140-meter race, there's going to be 20, 40, possibly 60 and 80-meter handicaps to some of the horses, higher-numbered horses. So you also have to factor in the extra distance they might be covering, too. So it's a lot to take in, but it makes for exciting racing and exciting handicapping of these vault starts.
Yeah, it affects the betting too, and it just pretend like, you know, you and I were running a race, and I started, 50 meters ahead of you. Well, I have a big advantage that way, and the outside posts make a big difference too, and everybody, it's a cavalry charge to that first turn. Everybody's trying to get position, so if you're 80 meters behind, you have to be the horse to be able to overcome that, and a lot of these races are set up where the horses who've made more money end up with the worst posts and the worst starts, and that makes it more difficult to overcome. So when you're betting that, you have to be mindful of that. Very much different than what we're used to. Even here, horsemen don't want to be in the second tier period almost universally. You might have one trailer in a race. Well, imagine having 12 trailers in a race. I mean, it's just way different.
So moving on to U.S. connections, anybody listening wondering how the U.S. fits into this whole puzzle, Mike? So we've discussed it in the past. Mack Lobel, 1988, Moneymaker, 1998. Those are our two kind of U.S. winners. Mack Lobel, of course, it was John Campbell. Again, if you listen to the pod from last year, I had that interview with him. And I don't know if I've said this out loud on a pod yet, but I just have to toss in there. I've always heard that John Campbell is well-loved in Sweden. And, you know, the ATG welcome dinner, they interviewed him and asked him about Mack Lobel, and everybody's still oohing and eyeing over it 35 years later. But the amazing one to me is I am with John Campbell, Moira Fanning, and a couple others, and we're leaving the track after the big race on Sunday. It's 7 o'clock. You know, think of it like Preakness week. You know, everybody's enjoyed their drinks and, you know, whatever else. And this group of, you know, college-age kids were clearly had their drinks for the day. And, you know, half cognizant, but stumbling over themselves. But still, saw John, didn't see him with the mustache, and we're kind of thinking about it. I could see him looking. Eventually, I went up like, are you John Campbell? And they, like, had to get pictures with him. And it's just amazing that these guys who weren't even anywhere near born when John Campbell drove Mack Lobel in Sweden, they surely do adore him over there. And I think it was very safe to be with John Campbell. That was, you know, the top-notch VIP treatment I could get Mike over there.
Well, he's like a rock star. And if you think about, I would attribute it, I think a good comparison is harness racing over there is almost like American football over here. If you see, be like Dan Marino showing up somewhere, everybody knows who he is, even though he hasn't played for 20 years. And it's like everybody, I think over there, harness racing is their top sport. So the stars of that sport are, when they show up, it doesn't matter the age, they're universally recognized. And you saw the effects of that. So that just shows you how big harness racing is there. It's the absolute pinnacle. And, that's the only thing I can really compare it to.
Yeah, you can. I think when they have the the polls on it. I think soccer, hockey, and harness racing is the three biggest in Sweden. And I know, like, if you take Björn Goop or Örjan Kihlström in Sweden and Scandinavia and Europe in general, the drivers have like sponsorship on their driving colors, and they get paid for it. And some of the big drivers, they have six numbers in dollars a year for just driving with the suits with the commercial on, so that they make over 100 just to driving with the suit on. So it's they can just be living off just driving around with.
Yeah, most certainly. Definitely is a different sport over there. Definitely is interesting to see that. And, you know, alternatively, for what it's worth, though, I was in this bar last year getting dinner, and I looked around and realized they had all this Boston sports memorabilia around. And I think people were waiting to watch the Bruins game that night or whatever. I mean, you know, so there's also a particular interest in American sports anywhere you go in the world. But finishing those thoughts, Thomas, a moneymaker, 1998, Wally Hennessy, Jimmy Tactor. Other familiar names, obviously, here in the States. And, you know, it's been a while since we've had horses over there recently. But Ron Burke has sent some in the last 10 years. Yannick Gingras talked to me before about his time over there. Dexter Dunn, of course, went over last year for Froda Hammer to drive Stole the Show. And, you know, obviously, connections do go over. Åke Svanstedt, obviously a native Swede, has gone over in the past. He was over there last year. But this year, Thomas, we do kind of have familiar name in the elite lot, familiar connection, and that is Joviality, who obviously owned by Caronte and Anders Strom, but we saw have a very strong campaign here in the States at 3, and she went over last year at 4, and this year she is taking on the boys in this elite race.
Yeah, she has been incredible. First, you had a amazing season for Marcus Melander as a 2 and 3, and everybody expect the Caronte, the breeder, they bring her home. She won the Derby against the boys as a 4-year-old. She was in the Prix d'Amérique as a 5. She is beating the boys. She is just an incredible horse. And it is an amazing job Sabine Kagerbund and the people around her have done with her in Sweden. It's not just to get a horse from the U.S. and develop her to be better than the boys over the 2,600 meter and stuff like that. So I'm just impressed. And she got a post 4. And Idiot de Tilau, the worst opinion, he got post 8. So she definitely have a good shot to go to the final. And other American horses, I was so lucky that I took care of Resolve when he was in the Elite Lop. I worked for Aki Swanstedt at that time, and I had 2 horses without training and driving, and Resolve was one of my horses I took care of. So he go to the Elite Lop in 16 and 17. Then we also had Pinkman when he won the 4-year-old race in Solvalla with the Yannick Greengrass in the back.
You know, Mike, just as a preview for coming attractions, anybody watching this Saturday's English-speaking broadcast, I am rumored to be on that broadcast for quite some time on Saturday. I stopped by briefly last year. I think I'm going to be on it longer this year. And one of the segments we're putting together our schedule for stuff we're going to discuss on there is going to be U.S. horses I'd like to see in the Elite Lop in the future where they might actually see. So I'll give you a little preview for anybody listening to what that segment's going to sound like. But for me, I mentioned Jiggy Jog, who was second last year, of course, in the international trot. So she's proven she can compete not only against the boys, but against those European horses coming over here, as obviously we saw Vivid Wise Oz win that race last year. I mentioned Southwind Tyrion. Again, I think Åke Svanstedt's proven that if someone's going to send one from the States, it'll probably be Oka's Barn. And obviously, he's gone over there a good bit. Southwind Tyrion, last year's Breeders' Crown champion, came back last night in the Cutler at the Meadowlands. Obviously, Jiggy Jog won it last night. It's Academic. Obviously, he's been pretty good lately, and Ron Burke has been over there in the past. So, I don't know, Mike, that's my dream three. If someone, hopefully, because I'm really looking forward to going back over in a year with a U.S. horse over there, I think that'd be really exciting.
Yeah, of those horses, I really think Jiggy Jog really the only one that could make a dent against the horses that are in there this year. The other two, yeah, they're nice horses, but I don't know how well they would do. Maybe it's Academic, just the as tactical as he is, as a possibility. But I'm not sure where he's sort of on the comeback trail here. Hasn't really done anything so far this year. I don't think he's even qualified quite yet, has he?
Yeah, I don't, not yet. I don't believe we've seen him yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen him quite yet. You know, but
the biggest issue right now is the shipping process. When we had Pinkman coming over last time, Then there was a sponsorship with Carl Eric Bender, who passed away, and SRF Stable sponsoring the flight. So there was rumor that they was going to try to do it this year, like that Solvalla was sponsoring one third, and the connection around Jiggy Jog and the connection around Southern Tyron was going to take one third each. But it's so hard because, okay, you have the Elite Lop with the purse there, but it is you're going to miss many races here in the US just to get that race. I understand it if it is a opportunity for the life like they did with Just Believe and stuff like that, but for the horses over here, if they can't get an easy flight directly to Solvalla, know they need to travel to Belgium and take the truck and trailer from there, either go down to France and take a flight from there. It's hard for the horses. That's why I think it's going to be very hard to get any US horses in the future coming to Solvalla.
Yeah, that's true too. I was talking when interviewing at Yonkers recently about experiences going over there with horses to the race, and trainers were talking about just a lengthy shipping process and everything else that goes into it. But Thomas, real quickly, the last one that I threw on my list that we're going to discuss over there this weekend. Again, we're really dreaming here. We're going to go forward a couple years. Carl, I mean, three now, of course. We know all these things he's doing. But Jimmy Tactor, Nancy's father, won the race before. Native Swede himself. Carl continues on. Maybe, Thomas, 2, 3, 4 years from now, possibly.
I'm gonna stop the discussion straight away. The plan with Carl is, the rumor was already starting to be talking last year about syndication. In America, it's too much money. Syndicate a stallion when they are like Carl. Bring him over there. He can just lose value. I think he's going to race maybe 9 more races this year. The plan is to win the Hamiltonian, and I think the plan is to go a 49 mile, and then he's going to be syndicated as the most expensive stallion of trotting horses. I think maybe Green Shoe is having that value pack right now, and I think Carl is going to beat that. I think it's going to be a insane value on Carl.
Yeah, I think probably a little bit of dreaming on my end, but it would be exciting to see. But Mike, let's move on quickly here. We'll discuss this last point, and then we'll get into discussing quickly this year's field before we wrap up. Trainers, drivers we'll see on Elite Weekend. So locally, you're going to see people like Daniel Redien, one of the top trainers in Sweden, who's going to have several horses in the Elite Lop. Örjan Kihlström is his main driver, considered by many to be one of the best drivers over there in Sweden. Bjorn Goop had the favorite with San Matur last year. Obviously, he's won the race in the past. But then you also got to keep an eye on the guys coming in from the outside. You're going to see people like Alessandro Golciadoro of Italy, who obviously always has a strong hand. Matthew Abrivard of Italy, another strong driver who won last year with Vivid Wise Oz when he came here for the Yonkers International Trot. Roman Deroux has Go On Boy, who's been a consistent elite race performer. So, I mean, Mike, your thoughts on those names and any others you might want to toss in. I mean, there's names you definitely want to, much like here in the States, keep an eye on and always watch what they have in when it comes to these big races.
And these guys, Gucciadoro, I think, is the top name right now, for me anyway. It just seems like everything he has just goes forward and races very, very well. And no matter what, he's got, everything ready to go. And, Redan is also another one that, his top barn, he's basically the top barn. He's the Burke over here. So he's got some of the best horses. And so you have to look out for them. But then you have, like a horse like a Fair Day with their connections there. And like Thomas had said, lower level connections, unknown, but, they brought this horse over, and that's a great story also. So I think that you have a lot of human interest. You have the top guys, similar to the Preakness yesterday. You had your Lucas, your Baffert, the guys that are there every year, and then you have some lower level ones that are very capable and kind of make it all, I think, fun. It makes it for, you get those human interest stories, and that's just one more thing that adds to it.
Thomas, any other thoughts you have on names? The only other one I'll toss in before I go to you is Magnus Jussa, of course, young up-and-coming driver, mid-20s. He's considered another very talented rising star that hopefully maybe we'll see here in the States sometime in the future driving.
Yeah, definitely. I think like both brothers have the quality to be doing good all over the world. Special Magnus for me is like a young Örjan Kihlström. Just Örjan was maybe 30, 35 when he started doing what Magnus is doing. And Mats, he don't gonna get the same credit as his brother, but he is not like far from him. And both those guys there they're coming from a trotting family. Brother is training. The other brother, he is working as a second trainer for Redan. The dad is in the business, so they have it in the blood.
Well, we've got a couple minutes here left, so we'll go on and quickly give you our thoughts here on this year's field of 16. So 16 horses, two divisions of eight, literally as we're recording this Sunday early afternoon here on the East Coast. They've just finished drawing these elimination heats. So we have post positions for you. We got everything we could need here. We'll start with the first elimination. The rail goes to Italy's Denver Gio, speaking of Alessandro Gocciadoro. Post two goes to Don Fanucci Zet for trainer Daniel Radian. One of several times we'll say his name. Go On Boy draws post three. That is Romain Daroux, who was second last year in a dead heat in the race. Joviality, the Swedish bred, familiar to us here in the States, will get post four. Post five will go to Italy's Capital Mail. The speed horse, Onus Prince for Per Nordstrom, draws post six. Post seven, A Fair Day. Last year, we saw Just Believe come for Just Tubbs and Greg Sugars, the Australian connections. This year, A Fair Day, the local Swedish horse. That's kind of our story to follow here for the smaller connections. Would love to see them do well. Post seven, though, maybe a tricky draw. And Thomas, as we think about this first elimination, maybe the trickiest draw of all. Post eight, Idal de Tillard, the Prix de Marique winner, is going to have to work from the outside post.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to be. And for the driver, Clement, the son to the trainer, Duvelstander, the horse is insane. I'm not a super, super high on the driver. And coming into the Solvalla 30,000 5/8 track post eight, yeah, as a betting guy, I'm going against. That's 100% for sure. Is he like, do they going to care if they win the elimination? Maybe not. Maybe they are happy if they have a horse coming into the final as a third horse and get post five or six. Right now in that post there, Don Fanucci set from post two and Joviality from post four. Joviality is not going to be driving in the lead. They're going to have a helmet. Ernest Prince is going to gun out there. So it's going to be who is going to, if Don Fanucci can protect the poster and not have Joviality over him, then Don Fanucci said have a big chance to win this elimination. I'm a big fan of Go On Boy, but it need to work out a trip for him. Ernest Sprint has been super, super good. And now it is super interesting, this draw here. I'm not going to go to the window on Idal de Tillard.
Mike, just taking a look here at some of the drivers we'll see. Obviously, there's nothing I don't think too shocking we're going to really see regarding how these driver choices are going to shake out. But Bjorn Goop will pick up Denver Gio. So, obviously, Gocciadoro himself going to drive in the second elimination then. And Magnus Jussa picks up Don Fanucci Zet, which means Örjan Kihlström's going to go elsewhere for Daniel Radian, which, again, as we'll discuss in the second heat, not unsurprising. But, Idal de Tillard post eight, in my head, it kind of, was going into the week thinking Idal de Tillard versus Francesco Zet. This is the matchup we've waited for. But, gosh, depending how things work out for post eight, we could be talking about the Prix de Marique winner missing the final, possibly.
That first elimination is loaded. Really is. And you have Don Fanucci Zet, Joviality, Go On Boy, all drawn very well. Onus Prince puts that elimination on its head, basically, with that horse's speed. And they're all going to be chasing that one early. And I think that the inside horses are all going to be trying to line up behind. And it creates for early moves, I would think, trying to make the final. And then you have the best horse drawn in the eight post. So it's crazy. I think that this is why for these eliminations right here, that makes for good betting. And like Thomas said, he'd be against the horse that probably a lot of people would think would be the favorite in there. So that first elimination is great. I'd be very curious to see how that shakes out, especially with Onus Prince in there and his speed. So he makes that elimination very interesting.
Yeah, definitely will be a very interesting race. Obviously, you're just kind of getting the three of ours preliminary thoughts, as again, these posts and races have just been drawn. So obviously, again, Friday's live stream will really dive deeper into this. But Thomas, while we're on the topic, just as a general concept, talking a little bit about the style of racing over there when it comes to eliminations. You know, obviously in the States, we talk about all the time how good or bad elimination racing is. Over there, talk a little bit about how you see the eliminations, and more importantly, how do we select posts for the Elite Lap Final?
No, this is the right way. The stuff we do home in Scandinavia is like we draw off the results. The two first winners is drawing coin or like head or tails, and then they pick the post by themselves. It's not like random post here in America like they do. If the winner, he's going to get 1 to 5. It's like it should be like the horses is finished second. They're going to have a coin toss and who is picking after the two winners. It should be that. It's like you need to drive for to get the third, to get second, or get to go to the final. It's not like if you don't win, you're just going to save the horse and go to the final. I love the draw to have home. It's more fair for the horses, and at least more fair for the bettors.
Yeah, you know, Mike, it's interesting. We talk all the time here in the States about, you know, elimination winners, say, at the Meadowlands and the Hamiltonian, drawing posts 1 to 5. Well, maybe you really don't want post 1. Maybe you'd much rather have post 6, you know? So being able to pick your post is interesting. But, and John Campbell talked to me about this too, it does create this kind of interesting mind game, though. John, after winning an elimination with Mac LaBelle, had his choice. And, you know, he didn't really want the rail, but he felt he had to take it because if not, he knew who was going to take it, and he knew that he might have difficulty getting past that horse early. So it really is interesting to see the games kind of play out of how everybody selects their post ultimately for this final.
Yeah, lots of strategy there. Here, it's an open draw. If you make the final, say, for Breeders' Crown, you could finish 5th in the elimination and still draw well for the final. Well, that's not the case over here. The guys have to try in the eliminations, and you know, you want to be in that top 1, top 2, top 3 to be able to get a decent post for the final. You don't want to be marooned out in a place where you can't do anything. I mean, does anybody want the 8-hole in the final? That's pretty much death. So it makes the eliminations better. I agree with Thomas. It's much better for the horses, for the bettors. They're trying the whole way. And I like it much, much better. There's a lot of strategy. And there's strategy, too, as far as two heats. You know, some guys are trying to save their horse for the second heat. Well, that's pretty tough to do whenever you know you have to be 1-2 to be able to draw well for that final. So that's what makes this race very interesting. I wish that we could bring the system over here for the draws and for the eliminations, for everything, for the Hambo, for the Breeders' Crown. It would just make things better.
Well, Thomas, let's take a quick look here at the second elimination. The rail goes to Hustle Rain. Matsusa will drive. We saw Hustle Rain in some of the Swedish major races last year. Post 2 goes to Gabrielle Gellermini and Honeck. That is, of course, the defending champion from last year's Elite Lop. The 3, Gaspar de Brion, the French bred, gets post 3 with Matthew Abrevard, who, again, should be a name familiar here in the States after his victory last year in the Yonkers International Trot. 4, Horsey Dream, another French horse, draws post 4. 5 goes to Francesco Zet. For me, at least, this is the other big one in this year's Elite Field. Obviously, won a significant win streak. Urien Kielstrom for Tainer Dren or Radia, and that's where Urien's drive will end up with. Post 6 goes to Decision Maker. Forbes victory with post 7, and Alessandro Gocciadoro will drive his horse in the second elimination, but Ben-Yurion Yet will get post 8, and Thomas Ben-Yurion Yet, I believe, last year's Sweden Cup winner. That's correct, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And what can I say about this elimination? It's when I see it right now, it's for me Francesco Zet. He draw a perfect post 5. Maybe with Honeck on the inside there. When he raced in a regular American bike last year, he was flying and he won the Elite Lop and he looked super good in there. He haven't looked good this year, Honeck, but when it comes to Solvalla, get the regular American race bike that is not allowed in France on, maybe he can get back to the wheel, but he haven't showed anything. Gaspar de Brion was very good last week when he beat Ideal du Tillard. Horsey Dream, I know, is very good when he's on his best. Decision Maker, yeah, for me, it's cool. It is Melander horse. She's a filly. She don't look like much, but she is. She is a fighter. She should be more in the Sweden Cup. I love Boris Victory. Big fan of that horse, but maybe a little too early to be a player in the Little Open Gurn yet. Yeah. Okay, last time. Post eight, let's just go to the final. This, for me, is going to be Francesco's at all day.
Mike, I really hope, despite the outside post, that Dal de Tallard is able to race well, not only make the final, but race well to get a good post. Because, I mean, I'm just staring again at these two on paper. Dal de Tallard, 29 for 39 lifetime, a winner of 2.1 million euros, so a double millionaire. Francesco Zet, 21 for 23 lifetime, winner of 18.5 million Swedish kronor, which is just short of double millionaire status, could get there based on this weekend. I mean, if we get to see these two match up, 50 lifetime wins from 62 lifetime starts. That's just incredible between these two.
It is, but I think Francesco Zet has the advantage, especially drawing in this second elimination, dodge some of the toughies, and should be able to control this race early and maybe save a little bit for the final. Big advantage to that horse, especially the way the draw has played out. And if you could bet right now, I think that he would be the one to take for everything right now. I mean, it's setting up perfect for him.
Yeah, you know, Thomas, it's kind of interesting thinking through this. You know, that second elimination, there's definitely four horses I could see not making the final. In the first elimination, you think about horses like Don Finucci Zet, Go On Boy, Joviality, Onus Prince, and Dal de Tallard. I mean, of those horses, somebody's not going to have to make the final, right? Because I just listed five of them. So, I mean, that first one is definitely going to be an interesting race to see how it develops.
Yeah, it is. For me, the first elimination is very open. I think the only horse I don't believe in is Affair of Day, the fairy tale horse. The driver is not a regular driver. He have a regular working as a construction guy, and yeah, the horse was not super super good last time post seven, but all the others can go to the final. I wouldn't be shocked if Denver G go to the final, Go On Boy, Capital Mail, yeah, Ernest Prince, Joviality, Don Fanucci, and Idiot de Loud. So that little open. The other one is more like Francesco Zet, Hunek, I think, go to the final. I also think Gaspard de Brion go to the final, and I think either Horsey Dream, Borup's Victory go to the final. Ben Gurion yet post eight need to be a fast half.
What I will say, Mike, is obviously Hunek wasn't exactly super super high on my radar going into last year's final. I think maybe I picked a fourth in that final, but the way Gabriel Gellermini drove that race, I mean, that was a winning drive, a deserved victory. I'll keep that in mind, especially with another inside post here, to see how he'll choose to drive in this elim and hopefully secure himself a good spot again in the final to try to make it back-to-back elite races for Hunek.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise. Was a price last year in the final, going against some of the real top ones. But I do think that the top end is a little heavier this year from my standpoint. And it's going to be a little bit tougher. And like Thomas said, like Hunek hasn't been quite the same this year. We really have to maybe kind of reverse form to catch some of those top ones. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. Drawn perfect, probably gotten the right elimination. Should end up in the final there. And you never know. Big horses show up in big spots. So he's done it before.
So if we're going to put ourselves on the spot to wrap up the show, Mike, did I hear correctly, Francesco Zet, that's your pick for the final?
Absolutely. I do think that all the everything's kind of coming up, Roxen for this horse. And I don't know if you watch the league, somebody will get that reference. But it's set up for this horse to win this race, especially given the draws, the eliminations. And so should be, I think, wins that first or wins that second elim, gets a perfect post, we'll have no excuses.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with you for this point. Obviously, you know, we'll see as the week goes on and, you know, we see the eliminations, see how things shake out. We'll see how we end up with. But early on here, I would pick Francesco Zet, and I'll definitely be rooting for him because, obviously it was very cool to see Hunek win last year. And I'll tell you, that Sofala crowd's excellent. They are happy for any champion they can welcome back to the winner's circle. But I've got to imagine that that's a little bigger party when they get a Swedish victory, and especially if it comes over Dal de Tallard in that final. But Thomas, your initial early week out pick?
For to win the Little Op?
Yep, to win the final.
Yeah, to be in the final, I will go with Francesco Zet.
Okay, well, that's three votes for Francesco Zet so far, so we'll see how it all shapes up next week. Obviously, plenty to come between now and then. And obviously, on again, Friday, 3:30 Eastern time, we will have our live stream to discuss the deep handicapping part of the Saturday-Sunday card. We'll discuss several of the races. I'm sure we'll get into many of the undercard races. Obviously, just great, great cards this weekend we'll discuss. That's about all we have for now. I don't know, Mike, any last thoughts we got?
No, just come Friday for the show because we're going to be on video. We're going to have Ray, which, you know, that's always unpredictable. I'm sure Thomas will have plenty of good thoughts for us. The final answer show, just like they do for the Derby, the Preakness, we're going to do one for this. And I think it's going to be awesome. So that's not to be missed. Check that out on Friday.
Mike, I think this is our opportunity. Thomas obviously knows all these things about these horses' shoes, the front shoes, the back shoes, what they're wearing, what they're not wearing. And we're just kind of like trying to provide some sort of comprehensive thought. Maybe we can outshine Ray at least on Friday.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but we have to get that mute button really dialed up because, you know, Ray can kind of go off the rails.
Thomas, last thoughts from you before Friday?
Weather forecast, amazing. Sun, good 70, 75, a fast track, good sport, big pools, good information, good broadcast. Just a love of harness racing. So wake up early.
Yeah, that's true, too. Definitely looks like great weather again coming up. Got great weather last year. 2 years ago was a little rainy, so I've been fortunate now on my second trip over to, I think, get away with some good weather both times. So definitely looking forward to a great weekend of racing over there. And, yeah, tune in Friday afternoon, approximately 3:30 Eastern time. We'll be live with the four of us to give you some final answers ahead of Elite Lop weekend. But for now, we'll wish you best of luck, whatever else you're wagering on. Hopefully check out a couple other Swedish races going on this week and get a feel for the lay of the land. We'll talk to you Friday, and I will talk to you next time from Stockholm on Friday afternoon.